Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we take a look at the readings for Monday, September 7th of the 23rd week in Ordinary Time. That's a mouthful, isn't it? The first reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Brothers and sisters, it is widely reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of a kind not found even among pagans. A man living with his father's wife, and you are inflated with pride. Should you not rather have been sorrowful? The one who did this deed should be expelled from your midst. I, for my part, although absent in body but present in spirit, have already, as if present, pronounced judgment on the one who has committed this deed in the name of our Lord Jesus. When you have gathered together, and I am with you in spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. What a powerful, powerful statement. Do we do that today? Really? What do we tolerate today? What do we want in our lives today? Our hunger, our greed, etc., can lead us into great trouble. He continues to say, your boasting is not appropriate. Know that a little yeast leavens all the dough. Clear out the old yeast, so that it may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened. For our paschal lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Brothers and sisters, I really encourage you to reread this reading, this passage from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. I want you to reread that, because we have a lot of boasting in our lives. We have a lot, doesn't mean you can't speak the truth, but not boasting. We want to be a people who raise up Jesus to be honored. And that doesn't mean we have to quote scripture every day. In our intention, is my intention every day in the people I deal with an intention to bring them closer to Christ? Even if it's to say, you should read this passage or that passage. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, we need more people who truly proclaim the word of God. And you can do it in a simple way, just by sharing passages with your friends, perhaps talking about what do they mean, looking at what the scriptures teach us. But brothers and sisters, please take a role. Please take a role in our Christian life to bring people to Christ, to bring him to the knowledge of his word. Knowledge of his word brings us to love for him. And what better thing could you do for a friend than that? And then the psalm for today says, lead me in your justice, Lord. Not my sense of justice, but lead me in your justice, Lord. For you, O God, delight not in wickedness. No evil man remains with you. The arrogant may not stand in your sight. You destroy all who speak falsehood. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful the Lord abhors. But let all who take refuge in him be glad and exult forever. Protect them, that you may be the joy of those who love your name. Brothers and sisters, this word is not just words on a page. This word is living. This word is active. Not like what we speak, but what the Gospels proclaim is the living word. It has power to touch us and to change us. Open your own heart more clearly to the word of God, but share it also with your friends. Please do that. And the Gospel today, according to Luke, chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath. You see, you did nothing on the Sabbath, no work on the Sabbath. But what about healing another? You see how totally they took the law and didn't see that even under the law that God wants to heal and restore and make whole. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand before us." And he stood and stood there. He rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he then said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged. He didn't obey the law as they saw it, and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. Jesus is doing good. He's healing. He's restoring. He's making well. He's preaching a gospel of life to us. And look what happens. They become enraged because he did not follow the law to do nothing on the Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, how quickly we can become that way. Oh, he didn't do what was right. Do you know his motives? Do you know what he or she really intended? Maybe they did make a mistake. Are you going to forgive them? Are you going to love them? Are you going to be open to God's action, which is for your best interests? Are you willing to open your heart more to him and to the love that he has for us? Scripture says here, "Lead me in your justice, Lord. Lead me in your justice." Not my justice, but "lead me in your justice, Lord. For you, O God, delight not in wickedness." And that's what we want, not to delight in wickedness, but to open our hearts to him. The fathers teach us how to discover a deep spiritual meaning in apparently casual things that Jesus says. St. Ambrose, for example, commenting on the phrase, "stretch out your hand," says, "This form of medicine is common and general. Offer it often in benefit of your neighbor. Defend from injury anyone who seems to be suffering as a result of calumny," that's lies spoken against someone. "Stretch your hand out also to the poor man who suffers, who asks for your help. Stretch it out also to the Lord, asking him to forgive your sins. This is how you should stretch out your hand, and that is the way to be cured." Oh, brothers and sisters, let us live the kind of life that God is offering us. Every moment, in a certain sense, I would have to say, every moment is exciting, because the more we yield to God, the more God can use us. The more God can change us. The more God can make us like himself. Not that we become another God, but that God can share his divine life with us and give us power to bring the good news to other people. But how can you bring it if it's not really good news for you? Oh yeah, I go to church on Sunday. But do you listen? Do you ponder it? Do you see whether your life is in accord with it or not? Brothers and sisters, the Lord is doing much in the world right now. We're pretty much confined to our houses or to our neighborhoods or to a very small area. This is the time to take a look at yourself. This is a time to say, God, what do you want of me? What do you want me to change? Lord, would you want me to change this? And I don't mean God's going to come down from heaven and speak to you, but ask him, open your heart. You'll be amazed at how you're led in your life to what is the truth. But we need to be malleable. Will I go to church on Sunday? No, that's not it. Do I love the Lord? Do I read his word? Do I seek to the best of my ability to conform my life to his word? Do I read studies on scripture that can help me to understand it more deeply? God wants you to know him far more than you know him right now. And I really, really do beg you to do so. Ressa Maritain, I've mentioned her before. She's the wife of Jacques Maritain, who was a philosopher. And she says this, in contemplation, it is God who is perceived through the medium. It is true of one of our more or less pure, finite being. Just as when we touch an object, it is really the object which is perceived through the medium of a more or less sensitive hand. God is perceived as love because he attracts, he unites, he makes one suffer or gives one joy. He reveals himself to the soul as its end, its repose, its beatitude. He is perceived as someone who touches us and not as someone who is seen. The soul, touched by God, leaps to the search for vision and union. But though its impulse of love sweeps it toward God, it does not see him whom it touches. Its experience is blind. It experiences God's love for it, and the love with which it responds is itself like the shadow of the divine love in it. And in a sense, these two so different loves are only one love, as two spirits that cleave to each other are one spirit. And 1 Corinthians tells us, whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Here are my pebbles, she writes, drawn from the water. They seem awfully colorless to me. What will you make of them, my dear brothers, or my dear sisters? Never mind, it was good to talk to you about God. And as a result, you have prayed still another time for your sister. This was her letter to her brother and to her husband, Jacques Maritain. Brothers and sisters, I really encourage us to stretch our hearts out, stretch our hands out to the divine. Ask the Lord for what we need. Tell him we want to follow him more. We love him. We want to serve him better. Open our hearts, please. You will never regret it, never regret it, as he leads you closer and closer to himself. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.